Hi, this is Kathy Entwistle, and I'm here today with Alana Rea. Alana started a firm, Etra, and I wanted to welcome you today. So happy to have you, and looking forward to hearing all about Etra and how it unfolded.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
So I wanted to start a little bit first with your background. Tell us a little bit about yourself first.
So I'm a lawyer and a very unlikely founder. I'll say that at the beginning. I always wanted to go to law school. I always thought I would practice law forever. And I was really happy. I was at Skadden Arps for a long time and loved every second of it. Like the happiest, nerdiest girl ever. But before that, I was raised in a house. My dad is a neurosurgeon and my mom was a nurse and then became a journalist. And ultimately, she actually went to law school when she turned 50.
So you're kidding.
My last year of law school was my mom's first.
How cool was that?
Really cool. And so growing up in obviously a highly charged academic household, very socially aware, my mom before her law school days was going to tons of protests and she was really politically active. And so I grew up, I think, with a lot of expectations, not just at the academic level, but to make a difference. And that sort of threaded through a lot of my childhood.
This is really interesting to hear. I did not know that about you, and I think it's going to really lay out the foundation for how you got to where you are today.
It's funny. You look back and you see the dotted line. My grandmother was a lawyer when women were really not, so she was one of the only women in her class at Brooklyn Law in 36.
Wow.
And so I really wanted to be a lawyer from early on. She was a
You had a great role model.
She was my very first mentor.
Interesting. And was that your mother's mother or your father's mother?
My father's mother.
Okay.
Pretty much everyone else in my family is in medicine in one form or another. And after perhaps the third time that I passed out in high school biology, it became clear to everyone.
That was not your calling.
Well, it was going to be the best bet.
Excellent. That's great. And any siblings or?
I have a younger brother.
Okay.
Shockingly, a neurosurgeon.
There you go.
Yeah. And his wife's a doctor also. So it really threaded all the way through. But a close family and they've been nothing but thrilled to see all of this unfold.
And so between your mom having a passion for going out and joining protests and having a voice and having a voice at the table and trying to move the ball forward, how was your dad with that? Was he supportive?
Completely.
Really?
Great. My dad, I think, he's one of the neurosurgeons actually that's hired more female residents than most. And his view was always everything is merit-based. Ask your questions. There was never anything that I couldn't ask at the dinner table. No avenue I couldn't pursue. He always felt that age shouldn't even be an issue. If I could do the work, I should try for a job, even if I was very junior for it. He was 110% behind whatever I wanted to do.
That is amazing. And it's really so great as a female to have a role model who is so supportive as a male as well.
Yes.
Okay, great. So in terms of your very first job, what was that?
After being a camp counselor, let's see, I spent my junior year of college at the Senate Judiciary Committee, which was terrific.
Yeah.
Subcommittee on the Constitution. I was there for 9 months, and it was an incredible experience.
Did you see what the Constitution means to me yet?
I did.
And?
It's mind-blowing. And actually, the Etra girls submitted questions to Heidi Schenck, and we left stickers for her at the box office, and so she's going to get back to us answering questions because the girls wanted to interview her.
That's amazing. Okay, great.
Yeah, everyone should see that.
Didn't mean to interrupt, so keep going.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg was just in the audience.
Really?
I think, yeah.
Very nice. I saw them do a small piece at Makers in California earlier in the year, and it was incredible. So I'm looking forward to seeing the full play.
It's incredible, and they have these young women at the end do an actual debate that involves the audience, and that could be the most riveting part of it. It's wonderful.
Okay, great. So you had this position as a junior in college.
Yep, then I went to law school. I went straight from college to law school. And so I worked in two law firms just as your summer, you know, apprenticeship, your summer associate, one in LA, one in New York, and then straight out of law school, I went to Skadden. So that was really my first job as a lawyer. And I loved it.
One of the top law firms in the country, I would think.
They were terrific.
Yeah,
they
that's great.
I did mergers and acquisitions for my first 5 years. My first mentor there was a woman, which was interesting, especially in that department.
Absolutely.
Nancy Lieberman, I worked with her exclusively for the first 2 years. Public deals, private deals, hostile, it was tremendous experience. And again, it's another merit-based institution. No limit on your second year, your third year. If you could do the work, and you had the stamina for it, have it.
Okay, great. I love to hear that. We just need to see more of that now. Specifically, what did you learn about yourself in your younger years?
My initial years at Skadden, I learned that there's no one from whom you can't learn. Mm-hmm. That every legend I worked for there, every type of deal, you learned what kind of lawyer you wanted to be, how you wanted to interact with clients, and what you could expect from yourself. You know, that the work was hard. And this was before email and Skype and all of these things. This was, you were sleeping under your desk for an hour or two until you got up for the conference call because of the time difference. This
right.
was back in the day. And I learned not to be scared about it. I learned that being the only woman in a room could be an advantage. That if you were well prepared and you had really done your homework, you would be heard if you raised your hand to talk in a boardroom. But having the spotlight wasn't so bad.
And those are great insights.
It was terrific.
Any bumps along the way?
I think there are always bumps. I think I learned how to schedule myself. I learned, you know, in the beginning, you want to solve every problem on your own. When in fact, in a big organization, the minute you see a problem, you should bring it forward. And I think I probably spun my wheels and wasted some time in the beginning trying to solve everything on my own instead of raising my hand and saying, hey, this is going to be a problem. I see it now. Let's solve it creatively. That's something you learn.
That's also a great lesson. Take us to where you are today. Tell us a little bit about your family. Tell us a little bit about what is important to you and what you're trying to accomplish.
There's a lot wrapped up in that. So I will say my family is in large part the inspiration for what ETRA is all about. I was working at Skadden, and my daughter, who just graduated college, but at the time was in middle school, and I was sort of realizing she had no idea what I did. Mm-hmm. And I have two kids. My son is 20 months behind her. But I was thinking specifically about her at the time. I would say something about a friend of mine, and she would say, oh, that's your friend from book club, or that's so-and-so's mom. And I would say, well, she is the CEO of a fairly large company, or she is anchoring the news every day. And my daughter didn't see what we were doing. She had zero idea what I did every day. And I thought to myself, this is ridiculous, and it's fixable. And so at the time, I sent an email out to about 20 women, and I said, our girls do not know what we do. Let's have a girls' summit. And I wanted everyone to come to my house. I said, there'd be wine for us, there'll be cupcakes for the girls, we're going to sit on my back porch, we're going to talk about what we do, and we're going to let them ask their questions.
And why was that important?
I had had tremendous female mentorship growing up, not just my mother and my grandmother, but I had gone to Smith College, which was all women, and the peer mentorship that I found there was impressive. And I just felt like I was letting my daughter down, which was crazy to me. I was supposed to be this empowered woman, and she had never had a female pediatrician. It was the small things like that, and she was missing it, and I thought, this is just fixable.
So how did that first summit at your home go?
It did not. It didn't actually happen. We could not get all of these rock stars on one porch on one day. So I solved it short term by bringing my daughter to lunch with a lot of these women. I just said, do you want to know what it's like to be an orthopedist? Let's go meet one. Mm-hmm. And you're looking at me like these were power lunches. They were not. This was small, bring a sandwich, sit in someone's office for 10 minutes. But the women were really generous with their time. And my daughter rose to the occasion and asked these great questions. And she met a bunch of women that I truly believe guided what she thought was possible. I think it opened doors and opened options. And she just graduated pre-med. She's planning on medical school. And I have to believe that some of the women she met led her to that point. So the mentorship part was important for me. Mm-hmm. And then when I left Skadden in 2014, I started thinking about how I could pay it forward, how I could give back. And I suggested to a friend of mine doing another girls' summit, just for girls I didn't know. And she said to me, you're sort of an idiot. I had built a bunch of websites or helped Skadden build a bunch of internal websites. And she said, you just did this. Build a website. So we did.
And that's how you started,
ETRA.
That's
how I started. I built a very simple drag and drop website called ETRA, which means to be in French. And I liked the idea of asking girls who they wanted to be. You know, not necessarily what they wanted to be, but actually who they wanted to be.
I like that.
And so each page of the website was keyed off of mm-hmm. that. Be Smart had a whole bunch of STEM resources. And these were just free resources I was linking straight through to third parties.
And how did the girls find you on the website?
In the very beginning, they were friends of friends. Mm-hmm. Anyone I knew with a daughter, I sent the link out. And I built the website aiming it at middle school girls, because to me, that was the age where they started to quit things that were authentic to them, but mm-hmm. for peer pressure or lack of confidence, they just started to quit. And I thought if we could catch them there, that would be great. So I built a page, Be Strong, and it was all about sports. And then if I knew a friend of mine had a daughter who was really into sports, I sent the link. And I said, hey, we've got 5 collegiate athletes and 2 Olympic athletes, and they gave us quotes. I started saying we very early, by the way, when we started doing this.
And was the we just one, or?
The we is
yes.
Yeah. But I thought of it as a collective, and mm-hmm. all of these women that I had reached out to initially shared quotes, they shared stories, I had content to post, so I really did think of it as a community from day one. And every day I sent the link out to someone, and then I started sending cold emails to women I didn't know. And one of the women I sent to was Arianna Huffington, because I had been to the Thrive Conference
yes.
in 2014, right when I was thinking about this. And so much of what she said resonated.
Did some of that push you towards it? Did it
yeah,
sort of put you right?
Absolutely.
Interesting.
She was so inspirational and very freeing with what she said, where she said, you know, putting something down can be the same thing as completing it. And I had been thinking about when it was going to be time to leave law and what was next. And she said that, and I thought, this is time. And she wrote right back.
Really?
She floored me. Yeah, so we were 4 weeks old. And Arianna Huffington wrote back, and she said, I love what you're doing. I would love to see a video of you with your girls. She had the Talk to Me series on Huffington Post at the time.
Yes.
She said, send us your logo. We didn't have a logo.
And how long did it take you to get a logo after that?
Our logo is not great, I have to say, because I took a screenshot off the website and sent it, and then that became our logo. So we may upgrade it to something a little more slick, but right now that's our logo. And I got several of the girls. I knew that I wanted a board. My whole board is all middle school and high school age girls. At the time, I had a handful. They sat on my front porch in sneakers. We did the video, and then she wanted me to write for Huffington, breaking down issues for the middle school year. So I started doing that, and that I truly believe is how we started growing. People saw the articles.
Okay, so the articles, when you were breaking it down, what were some of the topics that you addressed?
I wanted big topics, mm-hmm. and I think that's what makes what I'm trying to do a little bit different, is I really stay away from issues like bullying or how to have the best sleepover or, you know, all valuable middle school things, but I wanted bigger, meatier topics. We talked about financial confidence, mm-hmm. why it's not impolite, and this is exactly what Own Your Worth, I think, speaks to for women. And I started to talk about, it's not impolite to talk about women. It's essential.
You know, and to talk about money.
To talk about money, right. It's not rude to ask about salaries or how people earn money or what to do with savings. It's really relevant. And the earlier you start, the better. So I wrote a piece about that. I wrote about political awareness. You know, in a very nonpartisan way, it didn't matter to me who their parents voted for or what news station was on in their house, but they should be aware. And they should be watching and reading everything and asking questions.
And learning those skills that are so important, like negotiation skills or building your confidence
yes.
so that you know that you don't have to be perfect before you step towards another opportunity.
Right. You know, the founder of Girls Who Code speaks so eloquently about that all the time. And we have a book coming out, and she has a quote in the book about that, that girls don't need to be perfect. You know, brave not perfect is a really relevant concept, and the younger you embed it, the better.
That's
the first article I ever wrote for Huffington was called Raise Your Hand Instead of Lowering Your Standards. And it's a mantra I just keep stressing, that raise your hand to ask a question, to get involved in protest, whatever, to help the next girl. We don't lower our standards, we raise our hands. And so these articles were going out, and middle school girls were not reading HuffPost, but their very cool aunt or their mom or somebody else was reading it and started to
and then sharing it.
Right. And that helped us grow a lot.
So they would read the articles, and then they would get on
by email.
Okay.
Initially, how do I get involved? Social media was a godsend early on. If ever there was a population on social media, it's girls this age. But they were using it for good. And so they would find us on Instagram. Their moms would find us on Facebook.
And why don't you just tell us very quickly, since you're speaking about Instagram and Facebook.
It's all the same, at Etre Girls.
Okay.
Etre Girls.
Excellent.
And it's been terrific, because whatever pocket, whatever channel we happen to be on, it's a different population. So companies were finding us on Twitter. Moms were finding us on Facebook. But the group of girls that started to come and wanted to get involved, they were the source of every good idea after that. I'm happy to say that everything good that's happened with Etre has happened because of the girls.
Because you've given them a space to start that process and to have that voice.
Yes, yeah. They wanted to build something. So I started this board, and one of my board members said, can I bring this to my school? And right then I was like, we should have after school clubs. And now we have after school clubs.
And so what does that look like?
So we have Club Etre, which is really a club in a box. Mm-hmm. It can be whatever the girl and the school would like it to be. They can take the schools that have a once a month Club Etre chapter every month, take a page off the website. So it might be charitable 1 month, and it's all about philanthropy, early philanthropy, and they can have a community service project, or we help them figure out what they want to do. It could be well read, and they'll bring in a local author, and the girls can write questions, and they can have it, you know.
That's amazing.
It's amazing. Some schools need it only once a quarter, and so they do 4 meetings a year. Some schools want to tailor it to another club that already exists. So we have a Be Innovative page all about young entrepreneurship. If the school has an entrepreneurship club, this folds in really nicely. It's new, it's nimble, it can be whatever.
So
the founder wants it to be, and the founder is the girl.
So the founder is the girl who brings this to the school and starts creating the Etre Club.
And they need only 2 things. They need a faculty advisor, mm-hmm. and they need a space on campus for a 30-minute meeting. You know, we can't have them off campus. You can't have your meeting at Starbucks.
Right.
But on campus and a faculty advisor, and after that, it's up to them.
I wish we had something like that when we were growing up.
Me too.
But it's wonderful that that's available now. And do you find the girls that are part of this program or that are embracing this concept, are they underserved? Are they growing up in suburbia? Is it a little bit of everything?
It's a little bit of everything, and I'm happy that it is. One of the girls, so I've got girls at suburban private schools. I have girls at charter schools, at inner city public schools. We have a really big range. I have 70 girls on the board now.
70?
70.
Really?
We do not meet in person. Mm-hmm. They are all over the country. Once a month, I send out an email, and I tell them what we're doing, where we're going next, and I'll tell you about our corporate visits. And then I ask a number of questions, anywhere from 5 to 10. The answers to those questions drive what we do next. So I'll give them a choice of 3 companies. Where would you like to visit next? They drive it. They vote. If we could interview anyone by email, who would it be and why? And what would be your questions? And then I will send those. I can't promise we'll get an answer, but I'll send the email.
You will try.
Yes. And we have a huge variety. Geography, income, household structure, everything. And it's great because it's a truly authentic slice of this particular age group.
So for this age group too, you were talking earlier about your daughter and her experience, mm-hmm. and how you helped bring her along from not having any idea what you and your very successful friends were doing to understanding it and then finding her own path. Mm-hmm. How is this helping these young girls find their own path? What kind of mentorship are they seeing?
So one of the other girls, a girl at a school in Jersey City, said to me, I love that we're doing all of these email interviews, but I wish we could meet the women. Mm-hmm. And we were like a year and a half old then. And I said, look, we're much too small for any of them to come to us, but let me see if we can go to them. And I sent out a bunch of emails. Nobody said no. And so we started Lunch and Learns, and we started them in 2018. And I take 10 girls at a time into companies that the girls pick, and we meet only female leaders. We stay an hour. So it's a light lift for the company. We're in and out quickly.
Right.
But the girls ask every question they can think of, and they see women in roles they either didn't know existed or knew about and wanted to learn more. And the best part is the women then have been incredibly generous about saying, if you have other questions, here's my email.
Interesting.
You know, they're just talking about 10 girls.
Right.
When you're ready for internships, circle back. The women are recognizing the value of this pipeline at exactly the same time that the girls are finding their voice. And so they're asking very unvarnished questions.
What type of industries do they want to go and visit?
Spotify hosted our first visit, and that was almost a unanimous. The girls wanted to go to Spotify. We've been to Google, YouTube, we've been to investment banks, we were on the floor of the stock exchange, Viacom. It's been
a whole gamut.
And they might ask to see a company for a very specific reason, Viacom because of a certain show, but then they are introduced to what a large company with subsidiaries looks like, and they realize everything that's under that umbrella. So you talk about a little corporate education.
But they get the big picture, and then they get to drill down a little bit too.
They're the head of brand partnership, mm-hmm. They're meeting lawyers and accountants, and they're recognizing the scope of these jobs, even though they wanted to go to the set of TRL. So it's interesting. The stock exchange was mind-blowing for them. And the idea of how securities are traded, the security to get in, all the different people that spoke with them.
Did they visit the Fearless Girl?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I really cherish the comments that you hear on the bus ride back, because they're talking among themselves. And that day, the conversation went from trading floors and what it was like, to see all the news broadcasters at the same time, and then the Fearless Girl. A huge amount of the conversation, down to, I think I have her skirt.
That's great.
Right, because they're 12.
It's a lot of fun.
It is. But yeah, and it was very empowering, and they took tons of pictures with her. But these visits are great. Going back to your point, the women are taking it seriously, and they're not underestimating what these girls are capable of understanding. And the girls are asking really bold questions. What was your favorite class when you were my age? Were you scared to raise your hand? If you thought you were bad at math, how did you get into finance? Questions that are going to change how they think about, should I take Calc AP?
It all leads into the next choice that they make as they get older. Okay, great. Unbelievable. What I find really interesting about what you're doing with these young girls is you're not only providing a landscape for them to learn and to understand what opportunities are out there and to see other women in incredible roles that they might one day picture themselves in, but you're also teaching them a little bit about building relationships and networking. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
I'm so glad you said that. I think it's really true. I think that there's no age that's too young for those kind of connections. And maybe they don't call it networking at the time, but it is what they're learning to do and how to stay in touch with someone. And it starts, at the very beginning, how do you walk into a room and put your hand out and introduce yourself, to how do you ask a question? They're in a room, there's only 10 of them at a time. No one is silent, and everyone really should be engaged. And then how do you circle back? What does your thank you say? How do you circle back if you have questions later? And in middle school and high school, they're doing it to get their questions answered. But I think they're starting to see that when they get into college, I had our first year of ETRA girls graduate high school this year. And they're going to amazing places. But one of them said to me, I don't want to leave this behind. And so we're actually going to launch ETRA Campus later in the fall for the girls who have come through this program and now are off in college, and they want to know how to make a LinkedIn profile, how to get an internship. Let's circle back to the women you met. If you have questions, if you want to ask them places that you should be looking at. The women were generous with their advice then. They remember what it's like to be in college. Those connections are flourishing, and they're coming full circle. And I think ETRA Campus is just going to be an expanded version of that.
That is truly amazing. You've shared life skills with them, career skills. We talked a little bit about one of your earlier articles on financial empowerment. As you know, women don't take on responsibility for their own financial future as much as we would like to see them. And the statistics out there are astounding. Even we're finding the young millennial women are giving up control, relinquishing control of their financial future to their spouses.
I saw that in your report.
Mm-hmm. So what we're really trying to do now is make sure that we help all women starting in their younger years understand what's so important about your financial future and why knowing it, owning it, and taking a stand and having a voice in the conversation is so critical to your outcome.
Right, and they're modeling that for their girls. when women, at whatever stage they are in their life, in their career, in their marriage, start owning their worth and their wealth, the girls are watching. And those are the conversations that trickle down to the dinner table. How do you rent a car? What is a 401k? I think you can't underestimate girls and what they can understand. And when we take their questions seriously, or we say, you're not too young to get a job, let's look around the neighborhood. Let's look at a trusted neighbor or a household chore or a way you can earn some money. Now, what should we do with that money?
You know, I think what you said earlier really resonated with me in terms of trying to help women understand their financial picture. And you mentioned how your daughter would look at you and your friends as, you know, the book club or so-and-so's mom. And it wasn't until you actually started having conversations and sharing the time and insights into what everybody was doing that it made an impact on her. And I think with financial empowerment, probably the same is true. We can role model, but we also need to have the conversations and really get into the depth that is more sort of detailed so people will understand what that means.
Granular information, mm-hmm. And I don't think you are too young to get it, and I don't think you're ever too old to acquire it. I think that women who say, oh, I'm too old to learn about that, you never are.
Never too old. I agree with you.
And our girls are absolutely watching. And when they see you pick up something new or ingest new information, they do it too.
So you mentioned you're writing a book, and a book is coming out soon. Tell us a little bit about that.
So it's a compilation. So we had all of these articles with Huffington Post, with Thrive Global, Elevate, all these different places. And we put them all together into a book for middle school and high school age girls. It's gonna look and feel like a magazine. It's soft cover. It's divided into exactly the same chapters as we have on the website. So each one devoted to take financial literacy. We have a Be Wise chapter.
Oh, I like that.
And we've got quotes from women in the industry. We've got quotes from the girls, articles about being financially confident, how to get that first job, what to do with the money you make. And then the next chapter might be charitable. And we talk about early philanthropy and different ways that you can find a charity that resonates with you. Doesn't have to be your mom's charity or your big sister's. Something that really is authentic to who you are. You're not too young to get involved. Let's do something with it. So the book has quotes from about 40 different women, luminary women who have shared such wise words that I'm awed. And then 40 girls, all middle school and high school. And we are putting it out in October. And it's launching on Day of the Girl, October 11th.
Very nice.
And we're going to do actually something interesting. Book events are going to be at schools, particularly where the girls who are in the book go to school, because they should be involved in the book signing.
Absolutely.
I'll never be signing books alone. I'm going to have whichever girls are at that school with me up at the table. We'll sign some books.
They must be so excited.
Out of their minds excited.
Do we have a title of the book yet?
The book is called Etra.
Etra. Very nice.
And the subtitle is Girls, Who Do You Want to Be?
Fabulous.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, you've certainly accomplished a lot in your
3 years.
What do you think is your biggest accomplishment, or is there something else that you would like it to be?
I think that the small answer is making the jump from one career to another. I truly loved practicing law and never ever thought I would be happy doing something else. And the fact that I'm this sort of unspeakably happy doing this new thing, I think is an accomplishment. To be able to put one thing down and pick up another and find so much joy in it is an accomplishment.
I think so many people would be fearful of making a change like that. You had a very successful career. You were very accomplished, probably knew the ins and outs of your company so well and all of the people. And now you're going to leave that behind and start a whole new venture. And you have no idea what it's going to look like.
No idea at all. And publish on the website was definitely one of the scarier moments.
And yet, look at already, 3 years later, how much you have accomplished. How excited are you for what you've accomplished?
I'm thrilled that, you know, I said if I can have one girl get involved and help her make one important decision, that would be great. The fact that girls like it and they're telling their friends, that's an accomplishment. I think the larger answer to your question is the accomplishments that I see the girls heading towards, that's going to be the big accomplishment. You know, I'm ridiculously proud of both of my kids. I'm so proud that they're as happy and as directed as they are. But the larger stage for that is I'm going to be so happy with everything these girls accomplish, and they're going to set the place on fire.
You are making an impact on many, many lives.
I truly hope. Even if it's one, that would be great.
Amazing. I guess at this point, there's just a few more questions I'd like to ask before we wrap up. It's been an incredible pleasure to have you on and to hear all about ETRA. I thought I knew a lot already, but I've learned a lot today, and I'm really excited for you and for what you're doing.
Thank you.
So a couple of questions. One is, what surprises you most about the world today?
I think the fact that there are still limitations on what people, what girls, what women can accomplish. With so much advancement in every industry, the fact that women are not, you know, we are 50% of the population, we are 50% of the entry-level workforce, and yet our percentages on corporate boards, as CEOs of Fortune 500 companies, as representatives in government, those percentages are small. And it may be very naive to be shocked, but I'm still always a little bit shocked by that. I think it's something that needs to change. I'm hopeful that it will. And it may be this next generation that makes those changes with big strides. But it's something that needs to change, and it continuously surprises me.
Do you think what you're doing today is going to help move that needle a little bit further?
I think it'll open options for girls. You know, whether the world is ready, you know, history is sometimes defined by the people and sometimes really defined by the circumstances, I think the girls will see these options open. I think if they see, oh, I can be a governor, and there may not be that many female governors right now, but this is open to me, and I see a path, and I see mentors along the way that want to bring me forward, that helps. But I'm hopeful. I'm an eternal optimist, so I hope so.
How about, we spoke about finances, we spoke about how difficult it is for women to wrap their heads sometimes around it. Reasons why young girls, young women, and older women are not paying attention to their financial picture as much as they maybe should be is because they're busy, they're raising families, they're getting educations, they're trying to make other changes in the world. And we forget to look at ourselves and take good care of ourselves sometimes, and that includes the financial picture. So in terms of money, what does money mean to you, and what would you say to either your younger self or another woman about why it's important to understand your financial picture?
I think it's just a backbone of strength. I think that money, in whatever way you choose to earn it or use it, it's a piece of your strength and your power, and to voluntarily give it up or not to seek it or seek to increase it, you're limiting yourself in the same way that you would be with education or anything else. I think sometimes it's easier for women to talk about money with women, and that's why women's networks or research that focuses on women and having female role models specifically in this area is helpful, because I think you're more likely to talk about that with your girlfriends, but girlfriends should be educating each other. And it's something I love about what UBS is doing is that it is so focused on getting women together and having the frank, unvarnished conversation about this. That's empowering, and that means something to me.
Okay, great. So is there a question that you wish I had asked you that I haven't yet?
No, you asked me about the backgrounds of the girls, and I think that's the thing that means the most to me right now. I think this is all about access. You know, access to role models, access to information. There is no reason in the world why the girl in Greenwich should have any more access to the right role model or the right resources than the girl in Jersey City or Brooklyn or any place else. This is simply a matter of curating information and finding out what matters to the girls, what do you love the most, and lining up a mentor to be there for her, to take her through middle school and high school when those years are tricky. So it's access to me.
If we have young girls in our lives that we want to share this with, how do they find you or how do they find your website?
Go to etragirls.com. It's E-T-R-E-G-I-R-L-S. And you can email us. You can message us on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook. We respond right away. And we want to hear from everyone. The board cannot get too big. If I wind up with 250 girls on this board, I'll be thrilled.
Well, Alana, we are so happy to have you here today. This was a great conversation. You're doing incredible things, and I hope that we can continue to discuss it and follow you and help support your efforts.
Thank you so much. I had a blast.
Same. Thanks.